Put on your caveman blue because it's time for the Caveman Corner, where we talk football with the young men and their coaches who carry their colors onto the gridiron every Friday night. It's all brought to you by Abby's Legendary Pizza. Now let's head to the Beacon Drive Abby's with Chuck Benson.
Oh, you ready for some pizza and some football talk? We have both coming up here for you. And just a couple of minutes, they'll be delivering here one of those giant, it's a barbecue pizza. With triple cheese and onions on it. And if the sound of a barbecue pizza sounds a little strange, it did to me too. It is good, folks, and they are going to bring one out here. It's one of those big ones and special tonight, right? $26.99. You come in here, enjoy that pizza. You can call them, you can go online, they'll get the pizza out to you. Head coach Brad Page, welcome to the microphones of KAJ. You here with us on the Caveman Corner.
Yeah, happy to be here.
You're approach to the philosophy, or at least the culture surrounding your team, seems to be a little different than what I've seen in the past. This past week, saw on Facebook that you took the team, or at least a significant portion of the team, over to Coach Grant Martinson's house.
Yeah. Tuesday's kind of been our day for shaking some stuff up. We've added some things in where we have some time to do some stuff. And Coach Martinson and his wife, Sharon, they live right by the track field where we practice on Tuesdays. And so we walked over and said hi and paid our respects. And it was a really cool experience for us. And they've been really supportive. And they'll shoot me a message every weekend, you know, telling us how the game went and everything. And they're really excited about Caveman football. And so we want to pay tribute and give back to this community.
Does it give you any hints?
No, I wish. But no.
You know, I never experienced him as a head coach here, but I did when he was the defensive coordinator for Mr. Blanchard. He and Blanchard's offense and his defense really put this program in front of the state here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were going to Autzen Stadium and playing for at least a quarterfinals.
Right.
So tip the hat. Grant, if you're listening out there, certainly enjoyed the memories and hope those kids all behaved themselves over there.
Huh? They did. They're very well behaved. It was a cool experience for sure.
And that goes along with what we've been talking about with the culture of this club here. And it seems to me like about every game you seem to be doing something different pregame. I've seen you walk guys around the field. I've seen them walking up and down the field. I've seen you sit them down in the end zone.
Yeah.
Last Friday, we didn't see you do anything. Is that all by design?
Yeah, it is. We are pretty regimented with how we prepare each week, and we want to do a few things where, one, throughout the week, we want our players to stay on their toes and be ready because, you know, any given game is going to throw a bunch of different things at you. So the way we structure our practice is different every single day. We don't start with the same thing every day. We do something different, and we'll throw in random sudden change periods and try to, you know, create it as game-like as possible, which is what I think has helped us create, you know, the tempo that we run on offense and, you know, the success we've had in all levels of the game. But, yeah, as far as the pregame stuff, sometimes that's just dependent on field space and availability. But we do try to practice some mindfulness, and we'll either go on the field or we'll take a walk down the street. And it's just a way to kind of check into the game, I guess, and cut out all the other noise and try to help these players and us coaches even just be present in the moment and start to work through any, you know, anxiety we might have about the game, any nerves, and then start to envision kind of the big plays and things we want to make that night.
Well, it seems to be working right now. You're 5-1, 5-2. Sorry, Coach, but we got to deal with that. Yeah. So, let's see. Last Friday night, scored 40 points again. You're averaging about 47 points a game. You had a significant amount of offense. What total of 600 yards? Rosetta threw for over 400 yards at any rate, and lost by a point.
Yeah.
Oh, golly! Tell me about the first half.
You know, the first half, I think, well, it felt like Sprague had come out with several different defenses they're going to throw at us and just try to slow us down. They did a front where we had never seen, where they had all linebackers in, and I imagine that was to kind of get their bigger guys off the field so they wouldn't slow down, you know, our tempo or not be able to keep up with our tempo. And fortunately, a lot of what we do is designed to, you know, off defenses have to pick their poison, and we did that pretty well, where they, if they attacked one area, we were able to attack another on our end, and vice versa. And so it worked out to where we got a good lead, and we should have been going into halftime 28-7. We gave up a touchdown right at the end, and that definitely hurt. And, you know, credit to them, you know, for finishing the half strong.
In that first half, that tempo really seemed to have Sprague off balance a little bit. They didn't seem to react well to it.
Yeah, I think it causes a lot of teams fits. You know, we heard from one of their coaches that they had, you know, they were practicing with two huddles all week with their scout teams, just trying to emulate to go as fast as they can. And that's good for us because our guys like to go fast, and they prefer it. I think we play our best when we are going fast. And so it's definitely worked for us. And we just have to be able to, you know, play the full four quarters. And I think it kind of – we got a little comfortable in the second half.
Right. The run game was not as prevalent as it has been, although – Powers did get his 100 yards, but he got about 70 of them in one run.
Right. Yeah. They did a good job of stopping the run. I thought that with all the different fronts they threw at us, and they were blitzing our pullers, and they did a lot of good things to where it made it difficult for us to have a good, solid, consistent run game. And as a defense, that's what you want to do. You want to shut down the run first and then try to force the offense to become one-dimensional. And I thought our pass game did well. But, yeah, we definitely were missing that element in the second half. We needed that run game, and that would have made it a totally different game.
No doubt. Now, Rosetto was really on in the first half, and I think that's where he got most of his yards. Talk about your receivers. Everybody seemed to be catching the football.
Yeah, they did a great job. We've been at a point of emphasis the past few weeks because, if you remember, a few weeks ago we dropped a few interceptions. We had some drop passes, and so we've been doing that before practice. We practice with tennis balls. We have guys, hey, you got to spend 5-10 minutes catching tennis balls, catching balls, practicing all that stuff, and I think it's really paid off. Something simple like that has made us catch almost every interception we get, and we saw, like you said, our receivers catch some really, really tough passes and tight windows with defenders all over them, and so that was a great job by them.
So you're throwing tennis balls at guys running routes?
Yeah. It's it helps with
their
soft hands.
Can we get that on video? Can you put that on your Facebook page?
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be fun to watch.
Yeah. No, they it's a big thing. It helps with soft hands and their hand-eye coordination, so it's really cool.
All right, Is that a Brad Page development, or did you steal that from someone?
No.
You'd have to confess if you
I got it from a receivers coach when I first started coaching in Arizona, and I've seen other people do it, but it's we've definitely adopted it. You know, anytime we can get, we'll do it in the off season too while they're doing conditioning or warm-ups. They'll be running sprints, and we'll throw tennis balls at random guys to see if they, you know, can catch them. And it's just to keep them on their toes. And we just want to be a team that is efficient, and we don't want to be a team that's dropping open passes. We got to have positive plays.
Okay, let's go to the second half. It started off well. You got the first touchdown in the second half, and after that, they seemed to take you right out of your game. We lost tempo, had an absence of a running game completely, and it looked like Rosetta was a little frustrated.
Yeah, and they did a good job. They came out with another defense.
Different defensive scheme, yeah.
Yeah, and they probably threw three at us in the first half and then came out with a fourth one in the second half. And you know, it just – I think that our guys, you know, we got a little bit comfortable, and especially with that score that put us up by three scores, and then we just kind of, you know, let the foot off the gas. We gave up a kickoff for a touchdown. You know, we weren't efficient on offense because, you know, the pass game's great, but when you start to get down and the field gets smaller and smaller as you get closer to the end zone, it's harder to do that. And being one-dimensional is not anyone in anyone's favor, and we don't want to do that. And so it definitely hurt us. And, you know, I think we just have to find ways to battle, you know, the full four quarters. I think that's the first time all season that I've seen us not play a full four quarters.
The return, I have seen more kickoff returns this year than I think I've seen in a long, wait a minute. Time out, folks, time out. The pizza is here. Look at that barbecue pizza there. All right, thank you. Okay, and the spuds are on their way, too. Thank you very much.
Oh, smells good.
Oh, golly, that barbecue is incredible, and I don't know where Abby's gets it. I probably make it from scratch, but it is good, ladies and gentlemen. Put it on a pizza. Yes, it works. So, at any rate, we're talking about runbacks and special teams. Mm-hmm. And more and more we've seen you not kicking the football deep. Is that because of that?
Yeah, it's, you know, we want to take away big plays. You know, we've kind of had a rotation with our kicking game, and guys played a certain strength, and, you know, we don't necessarily have, like, a great deep ball this year, and we have kickers and punters that can do good stuff. But, yeah, it's kind of just worked into our favor. And, you know, we have a really tough conference that has some extremely good athletes, and they seem to put those guys.
Oh, the spuds just arrived, folks.
They seem to put their best athletes.
Making you hungry, we hope.
They seem to put their best athletes in the back there, and, you know, you want them to make big plays. And so, yeah, it's been kind of a strategic thing from our special teams coaches. And so that's just, you know, something we got to look out for.
All right. I've got to ask, and I've been asked a couple of times, and I certainly admire your aggressive play calling, because that's really been a trademark this year. We never know what to expect, but it looked to me like maybe a couple of times a punt would have been in order.
Yeah, you know, we went into that game knowing we're playing with house money with the way we need to play. We're playing the fifth-ranked team in the state who's got an extremely explosive offense, and we wanted to keep the ball out of their hands. And I would argue that, you know, for every time that we could have punted, there's two or three times where we converted on fourth down, and that's what gave us the lead.
That's true.
I've had plenty of times where we punted, and it has not worked out in our favor. We don't get a deep enough punt, or we get a big return coming back. And so our mentality is to be aggressive. We've played the odds. We play the percentages. And, yeah, I mean, that looking back in hindsight, sure, a couple times where it didn't work out, you know, I would have liked to maybe have punted, but I don't know. You could say the same thing. Like, if we punted every single fourth down, we wouldn't have had anywhere near the game we had.
Right, once again, I'm not questioning your aggressiveness.
No.
I had to ask the question.
I get it. No, it's understandable. When you get it, you know you're a genius, and when you don't, you're a moron. So it's just the way it goes. So it's
that's why you get the big bucks, Coach.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We know where the buck stops, don't we? Looking still back with that game, let's talk about injuries coming out of that game. So I know there's one significant one, at least one significant one. So bring us up to speed.
Yeah. Trayton Powers came away with concussion-like symptoms, and so he's, you know, whenever it comes to any injury, but especially a head injury, we want to play it safe and had to take all the precautions. And so he'll be out this week, which is unfortunate, but it's a good time for him to get healthy, because it wasn't, you know, he's such a great runner and hard worker, but he takes a toll on his body with all the touches that he gets. And so good for him to just kind of get healthy and rest. We have a lot of big plans for the playoffs, and it's another opportunity for Westonburg and some other guys to step up, too.
All right, so Weston will be starting, I assume, at tailback.
Yep.
And backed up by
Cameron Holland, who's been one of our quarterbacks and other, you know, athletes who plays a lot of different positions. But, yeah, he's kind of fit himself into that other running back role, and he's done a really good job there.
All right, I assume that Trey Powers was diagnosed, or at least is suspected of having that injury during the game. That really stopped his carries in the latter part of the game.
We just got the run game taken away, and yeah, it was towards the end there. We believe it was probably on one of these deep passes that we were going for when we were trying to get the game back right at the tail end. And so I think that's when it happened. And then he didn't show, or at least say, that he had any symptoms that night, but he woke up the next morning with some symptoms. And so that's where we took it from there.
Okay, well, all right. We never want to take any chances with these young men. But we keep talking about this concussion protocol. Can you outline a protocol for folks out there? What does a young man have to go through? Or is it just an examination occasionally?
It's just like an overabundance of caution and precaution. And so what these guys do every couple years is they take a baseline test with our trainer to kind of see, like, where they are, you know. And I'm not a doctor or anything, so I don't know exactly all the ins and outs of it. But whenever they have symptoms, then the trainer or a doctor or whoever it is can go through those baselines and see if they're, you know, off the charts in certain areas or whatever it is, and that's how they can kind of tell. Concussions are hard to diagnose, and so it's really up to the player to be, you know, we tell them, you know your body. You know, if you have anything with going on with your head, you need to get out. And there's some symptoms that you can see. But, yeah, as far as the protocol goes, you know, it typically starts whenever they got the concussion, and then they have to go through kind of a ramp back up period and get back into pads after that. And so it's a little bit of a time period.
Okay. A little bit of a time period. So we'll miss him on Friday night, but expect him back for the West Salem game. Yep. And talk about this coming Friday night. Doesn't get any easier, does it, Coach? We'll talk about the Sheldon Irish when we come back right after this 1 minute Caveman timeout.
At Abby's, it's kind of simple. We're not rocket scientists. We just make great pizza. When you're ready for traditional values, time with your family, and a great meal, you're invited to Abby's. Order at Abby's.com. Our family is here for your family. It's fall. Want a great value that doesn't involve pumpkin spice? Try Abby's barbecue chicken pizza. Save and enjoy a pizza with loads of quality toppings to the edge. Your taste buds and your wallet will thank you. Enjoy Abby's October special at a very special price.
A recent Clouser Drilling customer shares her experience.
This is Susan from Griffin Creek. And listen, if you need a new well, I want you to call Clouser Drilling right away. They were absolutely fantastic. Everything from locating the water to the drilling process itself. Their staff was top-notch, thorough, professional, on time, precise, friendly, answered all my questions, and believe me, I had a lot of them. You won't regret it. Call Clouser Drilling.
Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We've got some football players here chowing down on some this barbecue chicken and onion pizza that are just loaded with good stuff and smelled so good and is so full of flavor, it's incredible. $26.99 here tonight at Abby's. Come on down and join us. We'll be here until about 7:30, just in front of the Oregon Ducks Coaches Show. Then they're going to be talking about their hosting the Fighting Illini, I think, this coming Saturday in Eugene. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. In the meantime, we're talking caveman football, and caveman football also going into Eugene on Friday night against the Sheldon Irish. Also undefeated. Always tough. Your opinion, who's going to be, is one team tougher than the other? Is Sprague tougher, or is Sheldon tougher going in?
We haven't played Sheldon yet, but I would say 1,000% Sheldon's going to be tougher than Sprague. So they're just a really good program. Sprague is a great, you know, having a great season, a great team, but Sheldon is on that other spectrum. They're on a different, you know, stratosphere.
Just year after year after year, yeah. They load up again, and they're loaded this year. Yep. All right, let's talk about some of their skill players. A fellow by the name of one that's fun to say, Tuioti.
Yeah.
You have plans for him?
Well, can you make a plan for him? I don't know. His brother was a problem a couple years ago. He's been a problem the past 2 years. They are really tough. And so, no, I mean, the best we can do is try to slow him down or, you know, try to keep it away from him. But he's a dude, and he is a playmaker. And you see it on film. I've seen it for a couple years where he just is itching for the ball. He's itching to make a play every single snap. And so he's tough.
Yep. And they'll use him several ways, too, won't they? They'll throw to him. He'll run the football. Yep. And he's got a capable quarterback. His last name is Sperry, I think.
Yeah.
All right. What kind of attack do we expect from them? 50-50 run to pass. What are they going to do?
You never know. I mean, they've been doing the same type of thing forever. You know, a couple years ago, I don't think they ran the ball once against us. And they kind of just, you know, can do what they want. But I imagine that they'll, you know, stay pretty balanced. And they're going to, you know, try to take some shots downfield. You'll see some trickery. And, you know, they have a really effective run game, too. And their quarterback always seems to be a running threat, too.
All right, trickery. Are they going to be more tricky than you've been?
Yeah, in their own way, maybe. I mean, yeah, they definitely have. They do a really good job with misdirection and hiding guys, and you know, they're just a really, really solid, very disciplined program.
All right, so they're going to put up some points. We assume that you're going to put up some points too. What about their defense? How are you going to attack it?
Yeah, you know, the same kind of thing. They've been doing a lot of the same stuff for decades, and they do it really well. And their players are, you know, the most sound that we've seen as far as their assignments and staying in their coverage. And they just do a good job of covering the entire field. And so You know, there's some things that we feel like we can do and try to attack one side of the field and flood some areas and attack their DBs. But their D-line, their linebackers especially, are very, very good. And so we're going to have to mix it up and show some different things that we haven't done before. But, yeah, we got to try to, you know, attack some of their rules and make them work against them.
I mentioned earlier in the program that you were averaging, I think, about 47 points per game through seven games. They're averaging 52.
Yes. All right.
You know, are we looking at a shootout? Or are we looking at a defensive battle? What's your best guess, Coach?
If I had to guess, I would say a shootout. You know, we've been following pretty closely. It goes as far as points per game, it's Sheldon, and then I think Tualatin, and then us, and the entire state for 6A, which is pretty cool. And then Sprague's right below that, and so it's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, they do it on all levels. You know, they'll turn a turnover into a quick touchdown on the other end. They'll make, you know, some big plays special teams wise, and so it's more than just their offense. It's, you know, all three elements of the game. So I would venture to guess that it'd be a higher scoring game for sure.
All right, that means we're going to be passing the ball a lot. Talk about the running game here. Are they going to follow what Sprague did and try to eliminate your running game?
Well, yeah, we'll see. I'm sure they will in their own way. You know, they showed some different things on film versus some teams that we saw when they played South Salem. They kind of went to a three-man front and kind of dropped back into a softer coverage. And then the other film we have, they played more of their base, which is, you know, four-man front, a cover three, and kind of just sitting in their zone. They do their job really well.
All right. How does Rosetta act to react to those zones?
You know, he's done a great job. He's really learned the game this last off season and just taken his knowledge and using his intelligence, you know, at a really high level. And so he does a good job of reading what we're doing. And that's what us coaches try to help prep him and our other players for is, hey, this is what they're doing. We watch this film. This is where we can attack. This is where we believe in. And then when you get into the game, you know, it may or may not be there, but that's what we feel like. And usually it's accurate, but he has to make the tough reads and you know, real live action, and he does a good job of that and adapting.
Key phrase for us this year has been explosive offense. And is it pick a pass, and then hopefully one will explode? Is that the game plan going in, seeing what works?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we want to use the whole field, too. I think that one of the things I'm most proud of is our one of our biggest weaknesses the past couple years was if teams loaded up and blitzed us a lot or played really tight coverage on us, it really would hurt us, the pressure. And now we almost welcome it. We welcome the blitz because we have a good screen game. We have good man beaters. And we feel like, you know, we can run and pass the ball with anybody. And so we don't mind putting together 13-play drives. That's great for us. It just happens that we pop off some big plays sometimes, and that's just, you know, credit to our athletes making plays.
Well, let's talk about those athletes. One of your biggest weapons, in addition to their tempo that you use, is you've got a core of receivers out there that really almost amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's and we got a we can, you know, sub a whole new crew in, and they're pretty effective too. And so yeah, I mean, Isaac Johnson, I know you'll talk about that later, but he broke the single season game record this last week for yards in a game, and he's been really explosive and scoring a lot. Tim Hart's been very consistent, Connor Johnson at tight end, and then Brevik Hill, who's a sophomore, has been, you know, outstanding so far. And then we have other receivers in that other group that can do stuff too. Zach Deshane, Kingston Connolly, Hayden Chase, just to name a few. And so, and then our running backs get involved in the pass game too.
Everybody can catch that pass here. All right. The idea here. Let's see. We want to mention, where is it here? Okay, I've got it. 236 yards is what Isaac Johnson received, receiving yards. That is a new Grants Pass record. No Grants Pass receiver has ever gained that many yards via the pass.
No, we went and checked the record books. Ironically, a couple days before, we went and looked at it just to see. And there's some other single-season records that will be broken probably this year as well, and maybe some single-game records too. And so our offense is having, you know, a really good year, and we're very fortunate. Our players have done a really good job with that. But, yeah, Isaac was the had a big game, and he had a couple really big touchdowns that helped him get there.
What other records are we looking at, Coach, here?
I mean, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, yeah. but I think Jordan's going to break the passing touchdown record. And, you know, we might see some other stuff, single season stuff-wise, as far as touchdowns and receiving. And but Jordan's got a couple that he's getting close to breaking.
Okay. Kind of got off topic back there because we were still talking about what's going to happen against the Sheldon Irish. And we're talking about your receiving core. How does that core, your receiving core match up with their secondary right now in terms of speed, athleticism?
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of our biggest strengths is our that group, like you said. And if Sheldon has a weakness, it's hard to say they do. But if they did, I think that their DBs is something that, you know, we can attack. If we can have time and create spacing and allow our other routes and receivers to occupy the other defenders, I think that that's going to be our biggest weapon is our receivers going against their secondary.
All right. Well, that means you've got to give Rosetta time to throw, and you mentioned that earlier. So yeah. You feel good about protecting him in the pocket.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, our line's done a pretty good job this year. You know, there's been a couple games recently where we've seen some different fronts and pressures, but Jordan's also has a ton of, you know, I mean, he threw a ton of passes last game, more than we would have liked him to have to throw.
Over 40 passes, wasn't
yeah.
It? Yeah.
And so that's a lot, you know, and so you run the risk of getting, you know, added pressure, and so we have to be able to mix up the play calling a little bit. But our offense is designed to get the ball out quickly. We have if we get pressure, we have checkdowns, we have first reads, and so we're not the type to sit back there for a long time. We want to get rid of the ball quickly, unless we have a shot play where we have some more protection in, where we'll keep a tight end or running back or both in. You know, we want to get the ball out quickly.
Is there an Achilles heel you can exploit? We've talked about their secondary back there, and that might be a weakness where we match up?
As far as the film goes, I think, yeah. I mean, I would also say that, you know, I don't think they've, and I know they haven't seen a team that goes as fast as we go, and so their schedule, I mean, the only out-of-conference game they had is Tigard, and Tigard's a good program, but they're not, you know, having an amazing year, and so Sheldon hasn't faced us or Sprague yet. And I, you know, I feel like, you know, us three are at the top of the conference. And so I think our tempo and just having, you know, an added element of talent, will maybe catch them off guard a little bit. And you know, I hope that we put up quite a few more points than anyone else has, which hasn't been many, but, I think, you know, our tempo and our offense and our passing game should be able to, throw some wrenches in their game plan.
How about your defense?
Yeah, I mean, our defense has been really, really solid as far as creating turnovers. I think they forced 4 or 5 last game, which is huge. And we've
from their big running back just ripping the ball out of his hands. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, they've done a good job. And, you know, when teams pass against us, it's proven to work in our favor typically. And so we have to find a way to tighten up that run game and not just allow it to, you know, holes to get open. But we're growing and we're learning. We're still a really young team, but our defense, you know, has done a good job, especially the past couple weeks of holding their own. And honestly, they've put us in a really good position several times, which has helped our offense score so many points because of the turnovers they're forcing.
All right. Are you getting any feedback on some of the bold decisions you make here, the fake punts with the direct snap, any of your other
everyone's fun, got an opinion, you know, stuff. That's you know, we've been I've told our players, you know, when we started the season that it's just us, and we've kind of been through hell and back with, you know, having a rough year last year and going through this entire off season and kind of revamping our team culture and vision and focus. And, you know, the bandwagon definitely is getting loaded up more and more. And so, you know, that's great. You know, we hear fans and we hear stuff, and it's awesome because we have so much support, and we want to have that. We want people to be excited about football. And so, yeah, I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but we're going to roll with what we believe in and what we know what works best for our team.
Two regular season games left, Coach. We're coming up to the top of the hour news here in a moment or two, but I had to get this in. Did that loss last Friday night, did that take you out of the top bracket, that top championship bracket, do you suppose? Still looking for a home playoff game either way. But
yeah. No, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, a lot will depend on Friday night with playing Sheldon. But, yeah, with the rankings being the top 12 instead of the top 16, and kind of, you know, you kind of become more of that elite level if you make that top 12. And so a lot will depend this Friday on how it goes, and then also us taking care of business versus West Salem. You know, nothing's guaranteed, but we'll know more after this Friday. But yeah, we're, you know, hopeful that if we do get in that lower bracket, we'd love to host a couple playoff games.
All right. We talked about Sheldon. We've also mentioned West Salem. That's looking like a better program than we initially thought earlier on in the season. So they're coming on, and they're a team to be reckoned with, too. Is that fair?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, they've always been a really solid program. We've had a couple games of film on them just from other opponents, and they have a really solid running game. I think their quarterback's pretty young, but their run game is tough, and they always just have big-bodied guys. And so it'll be a good game, and thankfully we're hosting them at home.
All right. All right, Coach, I want to thank you very much. Eat some of this pizza here, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned. More to come here. We'll be talking more with head coach Brad Page. And, of course, we've got some football players to talk to here on the Caveman Corner on KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
One person in Colorado, according to the CDC. McDonald's U.S. President Joe Erlinger says the company took quarter pounders off the menu Tuesday in affected regions.
I want to say to our consumers that you can confidently go to McDonald's.
The FDA and McDonald's believe slivered onions from a single supplier are the culprit, while the USDA is investigating the meat. Erlinger made his comments on NBC's Today Show. I'm Julie Walker.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says Apple and Goldman Sachs must pay millions for mishandling Apple Card transactions.
The Bureau says Apple failed to send tens of thousands of Apple Card disputes to Goldman. And when such customer disputes were reported, the investment bank did not follow federal requirements for investigating. The agency says many consumers faced long waits to get their money back from disputed charges, and in some cases saw damages to their credit reports. Beyond penalties and relief to those impacted, the agency is barring Goldman from launching another new credit card unless it can prove the product will comply with the law. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The U.S. says 3,000 North Korean troops have deployed to Russia and are training at several locations, calling the move very serious and warning that those forces will be fair game if they go into combat in Ukraine. The deployment raises the potential for the North Koreans to join Russian forces in Ukraine and suggests expanded military ties between the two nations. Rough day on Wall Street with the Dow down by 409 points today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Mount Katahdin, 100,000 acres of wilderness.
We're gonna hike there?
You're almost men now.
From Sylvester Stallone and Blue Fox Entertainment comes the film Lost on a Mountain in Maine.
Don, slow down.
You want us to be men? We're going to the top.
Where's Don?
Get out of here. Where's your brother?
A family searches for their son lost in the wilderness.
I always told them, when things get tough, press on.
The true inspirational story, Lost on a Mountain in Maine, in theaters November 1st. Tickets at lostonamountaininmainemovie.com.
What are you going to do if Kamala wins? Moving to gold now is an option. At Premier Gold, we specialize in helping those with a 401k or other types of retirement accounts convert their vulnerable paper assets into physical gold. Today, we'd like to send you a free gold election kit to help you decide if this is right for you. Call 606-800-8000. Premier Gold is not a financial advisor. Please consult with your advisor before investing. Call 606-800-8000.
Hi, I'm Richard Chasm. I'm running for the state legislature to represent House District 4. But in a way, I am running for all of rural Oregon. The Democratic Party holds a supermajority of representatives in the House. I'm running as a Democrat, and if I'm elected, I will be in that supermajority. And when I'm in that supermajority, rural Oregon will no longer be frozen out. I'm fed up with the wasted money and missed opportunities currently coming out of the state legislature. I feel we can do better. We need to do better. But I need the votes of Republicans who feel that we need to do better too. My primary concern is to address the wildfires that can burn us out regardless of our political persuasions. Go to my Facebook page, Chasm4HD4, to learn more.
This ad is paid for by friends of Richard Chasm.
Welcome back to the Caveman Corner, ladies and gentlemen. Coming to you live and direct from the Beacon Drive ABC Pizza. Come on down. Our pizza's almost gone here. People chowing down on the all of the spuds here. Coach Page picked up a bunch of spuds and ran off to another corner over here. But I've got three great football players here to talk about. All right, let me see if I can get this right. Parker Howell, Braden Carlson, and Isaac Johnson. Okay, everybody is here. All right, Isaac, let's start with you. You had a pretty good game, didn't you? Yeah, tell me about that game. Get right up on that microphone.
It was definitely tough at the end, knowing that we lost by one, but I feel like our whole team played their heart out, and that's just happened to be what happened at the end. It's just our odds.
All right. I see you had a pretty good game. 9 catches, 2 touchdowns, 236 yards. Not bad, huh?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Now, your name goes in the record books. How does that make you feel?
I mean, it feels like a blessing from God, really. Like, knowing that I'll have something to pass down when I leave high school for people younger than me who look up to me.
Your name's going to stay there for a long, long time.
I don't know. We got a lot of good receivers coming up, and some of them I'd be happy if they broke it.
Make that the challenge. Break it this Friday night.
Yes, sir.
There you go. All right, Braden Carlson. Braden, tell me, what's your role? I know I've called your name a lot. Get right up on that microphone here.
Well, I play left tackle now. I started at right tackle, but there was a hand injury, so they moved me around. And then I'm playing D tackle now on defense, and I start both ways. I missed last year due to some family stuff, but now this year I'm just trying to play my heart out and get as much out of the program and the experience as I can.
We called your name an awful lot, no doubt. Now, they've moved you around. You're an offense and defense, left tackle to right tackle. How are you handling that? Does that create some confusion for you?
Not really. Like, offense, I usually get a break because it's a pass set. You only jump around a little bit. But on defense, it's full go. You're trying to dominate the other person in front of you against their will and get to the quarterback. And I'm just trying to go out there and have some fun. You know, I could be tired later. That's my mentality.
All right. So the stamina? Because you're going both ways. You can technically play every snap in the football game. I know you won't because the coach probably will bring in some relief every now and then.
Oh, yeah.
But how do you feel at the end of the game?
At the end of the game, there's a lot of adrenaline. It's usually the bus ride home or when I'm changing in the locker room that I feel a lot of the wounds from the battle.
Yeah.
It, you could say.
When the adrenaline calms down and the body starts to ache again.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Usually I'll get home and I'll lay on my floor for 30 minutes before I shower, and I'm just thinking about how the game went and just being like, wow, we did that. Like, because we're averaging over 40 points a game.
Over 47 points a game.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, like, how did we even score that many times? I'm not even there to process all that, and I'm just decompressing in my house, and I'm like, you know, it was worth it. You know, you get to put your mind and body to something, and you accomplish something good.
So you replay the game afterwards in your mind?
Yeah, like the big plays and the ups and the downs, and just especially like the close games where you can think we really brought it back, or you could see how you gave it your all. And you think about the one thing that made you win or the one thing that made you lose.
All right. If there's one thing that made you lose and you think that it fell on your shoulders, how's that make you feel?
It just makes me feel that if it were to be that situation where it fell on my shoulders, that I just need to be better and I know what I could be doing.
So you can use it as a positive reinforcement?
Yes.
All right. Where's your attitude come from?
My attitude comes from, honestly, like being a Christian and being God being a part of my life, and then my family. Both my parents are military, so they just hold me to a higher standard. And then my brother's going to be shipping out on the 18th for the Navy. And so a military family and Christianity, just like a straight arrow for the most part, if you would want to say that.
All right. Well, salute. What services were your folks in?
My mom was in the Army, and then my dad was in the Navy.
Oh, all right. Well, thank them for their service, and good luck to your brother.
Thank you.
What are your plans?
My plans, I want to see where football takes me, but I might just, you know, work for the family business after high school or go to the military as well. Because it would just give me an opportunity to go to college and think things through.
All right. Well, we'll get back to that. But that wanted to see if you were going immediately into the military, because obviously you have the background for it, or you have some knowledge of what it takes to cope with those situations. So we'll follow up on that. All right. Parker, tell me about your last Friday night.
Friday night was a close game, obviously. I feel like our defense played really well. And we got a lot of turnovers, and we had to make their offense work for everything.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Now, you're playing a lot of defense right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, tell me about that. Did you get one of the turnovers?
Yeah, I got an interception.
Okay. Tell me about that experience.
Tough moment in the game. We were still pretty close. Gave us some momentum on offense to try to go score again. And
right. When did you see that ball coming into your hands? When did you know it was yours?
I saw the quarterback point for the running back to go upfield, and that's kind of when I knew, because he kind of lopped it up there for me.
Oh, okay. So pick it right off, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. What's more fun, offense or defense right now for you?
Right now, I like defense a lot.
All right. Why?
Just the mindset I can have, it's more aggressive than offense, in my opinion.
So defense is more aggressive than offense, really?
In my opinion.
Yeah. Like,
just because I'm a linebacker and I have to fill those run gaps and hit people harder.
Oh, okay. As a linebacker, what's your size and weight?
I am 6'1", 85.
Okay, not bad. You're sitting next to Braden Carlson, so you might look a little smaller there. All right. We'll be right back with you, Parker. All right, Braden, I mentioned your size. All right, share that with us. How big are you here?
Throughout the season, I've managed to be gaining weight, so I'm around 230, 235. And I like to say I'm 6'2", 6'3" in shoes.
Okay, stocky feet, 6'2". All right. And same question for you that I just asked Parker. Which do you prefer, because you go both ways, offense or defense?
I really like defense, because then I get to be more of a key player, like getting a sack or just getting a TFL or holding the line of scrimmage and then bouncing the running back out to a gap and then someone else gets it. And then on offense, I just have fun because I get to watch people like Isaac make huge catches for 70 yards, and then we're scoring and I just get to celebrate, have a good time.
All right, so... sounds to me like you take offense as a little bit easier to play for you. You're either protecting or opening a hole, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. I dealt with him, this Isaac, an awful lot, so I'll come back to him here in a minute or two. But tell me more about what your plans are ahead and what you do when you're not playing football. What do you do to relax?
To relax? Well, I like to be really busy. I don't like to be on my phone too much unless I have nothing else to do. But usually I'll just go to the gym and work out, or I'll just hang out with my friends. Went to the movies the other day, and that was pretty nice.
What'd you see?
I was going to see Scream 2, but then some of us weren't 17, so we couldn't watch it. I had a nice little plan. I had a Saran wrap, and I had some candy wrap to my leg.
Uh-huh.
And then, okay. It didn't quite come to fruition, but there's video proof.
All right, I'm not going there. I'm gonna leave that one alone. Let me see. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna take a deep breath, and we'll be back right after this 1 minute caveman timeout.
This is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. A woman was traveling on I-5 recently and started hearing a noise. She was, of course, worried about hotel and repair costs, but it turned out to be a simple issue and we got her back on the road with no charge, a bottle of water, and some snacks. Well done, Grants Pass. This is exactly what it means to be good stewards. Dave and I are so proud of you. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
Savings and services available every day at Plaza Sewing and Vacuuming, along with all the supplies you need. Did you realize that knitting, quilting, crocheting, crafting, and sewing increases your mental acuity and physical dexterity? Everything you need is at Plaza, and always at Plaza's pleasing prices. Plus, Plaza's technicians are prepared to keep your vacuum at its peak with all the accessories you need. Open from 9:30 to 5 Monday through Friday, till 4 on Saturday, and noon to 4 on Sundays on 6th between H and I at Plaza Sewing and Vacuum.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Caveman Corner here, coming to you live from the Beacon Drive Abbey's Pizza. We've got three great football players here that you're really enjoying tonight. And I'm not going to go away from you, Braden. but I am going to change the topic here a little bit. You mentioned that you do work out in the gym a lot. You're a big young man. You're obviously strong to maintain going both ways in the football game, offensively and defensively on the line. So you tell me exactly... what do you do in the weight room right now? What numbers are you proud of?
Well, I'm proud that in the season I hit a new bench press PR, 295 pounds, on like Monday, I mean, sorry.
Yeah.
And then I squatted 405 pounds as a freshman, and I just like to maintain that, do a lot of compound lifts, just stuff that's mostly football focused. Like, I could do all the other, like, arm day stuff later. I just feel like it's important that I can be strong for the team and just get kind of able to pick up my responsibilities, especially for when we face teams like Sheldon that have guys that are 6'5", 270.
Is that who you're going to be lining up against? Do you have someone that you're already going to be squaring off against?
We don't know yet. They have a lot of different defensive looks. They could go in, like, a 3-4, 4-3, 4-2 kind of look. And we just seen everything about that on film. And then they just rotate guys in and out depending on the look. But he is one of the guys.
Okay. And we just brushed on this earlier. Tell me about your long-term plans, long-term dreams. What would you like to do? You mentioned military. You mentioned football. You mentioned college. Can you narrow that down for us a little bit?
I haven't quite narrowed it down for myself, but I just know.
It's okay. You can change your mind, but...
Yeah. I'd just be more of a family man. I want to be able to provide for my family, take them nice places, and just settle down eventually.
All right. Well, if football isn't a plan there, that means that you got to play at the next level. Is there a place you'd like to go?
Definitely somewhere local, like Portland State, OSU, or OU. I just like the feeling of being in Oregon with the climate and the people. And that is a dream, but if I need to go play at a lower level, I'm willing to do that. I did a visit to the Siskiyous with the O-line coach, Coach Cox, and I liked that. He said he was an alumni there, and it was a really nice place and a nice field. It's just it's in Northern California, so it's not too far away. I could still visit family on the weekends.
All right, to take care of your family, you need to have a vocation. Have you given that any thought, and what kind of studies are you following in order to make that happen?
I don't know if I seem like the smartest guy, but I do have kind of a passion for math and science. I did take AP statistics my sophomore year, and I just really like the idea of seeing how math works and how it can like change little parts of your life. And then obviously like the science experiments and chemistry, I'm really interested in those, and I just like how things work.
Well, maybe you'll find out how things work and help us all, huh? Okay. All right. Parker, let's come back to you. And we've not had a chance to talk to you very much this year because in addition to your defensive duties, you're also a pretty good quarterback following another pretty good quarterback right now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you get a chance to throw every now and then. And so tell me about that aspect of your football game here.
Well, Jordan does a really good job leading this team and winning us football games. I usually go in if we're already winning or up a ton at the end of the game.
It was a pretty close competition at the beginning of the year between you two.
Yes, it was.
And you're both in the same class. You're both sophomores, right?
Yeah.
So how long has this competition been going on?
I mean, he was the starting quarterback that was decided, and I switched to linebacker. So that's the best for the team.
Have you been bumping shoulders before this? I'm assuming the competition is friendly.
Yeah, very friendly.
Okay, I thought I'd seen that before. In middle school, both of you playing the same position, either with each other or against each other?
Against each other.
Oh, okay. All right, where were you?
What's that? Sorry.
Where were you in middle school?
I went to North Middle School.
And he went to South?
Yes.
Okay. Who won?
He's 2-0 against me.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, guy. Yeah. But I'm assuming you played well because we've seen you play on the field, and we believe either one of you could get the job done.
Oh, yeah.
So other than that, tell me about your future.
I haven't really thought about that part yet. I'm only a sophomore. I haven't really focused on that part
after
high
school.
Give
me a dream. Wave your magic wand.
I would really like to go to the next level in football and go to a college.
All right, and what letter would you be wearing on your chest? What college?
What's that? Sorry.
What college? What letter would you be wearing on your chest?
Somewhere local in Oregon.
Okay. I want to stay close. When you're not playing football, what do you do? What do you do for fun?
Hang out with friends and family mostly. I like to just hang out, talk to them a lot.
Yeah, okay. Parker Hell for the Grants Pass Caveman. I want to come back to Isaac Johnson. We haven't been ignoring. I guess we kind of have been ignoring you. Didn't mean to. But you've been here before. So what do you think about these guys on your right shoulder there?
I mean, they're both amazing players. I played with Braden since freshman year, even though he took a little time off sophomore year. But he's been nothing but working hard, trying to come back. Parker, he's a great player, whether on offense or defense. My first touchdown of the year was from Parker versus North Medford. On defense, he's, I don't know, had like three interceptions? Oh, he's not counted. Yeah. All right.
You guys just want to do this, and I'll sit in the back here, or I'll just go get another pizza. You guys. All right. Isaac, you've been here before. We've even had you on the radio extra times before. Is there something that makes this team different here?
I'm sorry.
Is there something that makes this team different here? The culture, the fellowship among your players, both on the field and off the field?
The difference with this team is it's player-led, and it doesn't even just have to be a senior trying to lead. It could be anyone. And as long as we're just all working together and listening to each other, trying to understand each other, we just get the job done.
It's player-led. I've not heard a student-athlete say that before, but player-led. Are you one of the leaders?
I mean, I'd say we all are. As long as we're doing our job, working as hard as we can, trying to show everyone else, like, what we can do and, like, trying to inspire them to do better also, you're a leader.
All right. Your buddies are all nodding their heads yes. So when you're called on, you're able to step up and provide that leadership role? Yes. That was a question. When you're called on, you're able to step up and provide that leadership role?
Yes, sir. As long as you're doing your job and not just messing around, like, in practice, there's times you can goof off, there's times that you don't, but as long as you're showing that you love the game and you want to be there with your brothers, like knowing that you have each other's back, that's just leadership to everyone.
All right, how many passes are you going to catch on Friday night?
That is...
Braden says 10.
I'm not really sure. I hope
Braden,
so.
Braden says 10. Okay. All right. Other than you, who's the best receiver on the team? Not saying that you are, but other than you.
That's a tough question.
Well, I know there's lots of competition out there. You get about 12, 15 guys you're talking about, right?
I don't know. It'd probably have to be a tie between Brevikill and Tim Hart. They're both really good.
All right. Do they have different skill levels?
Yes. I mean, Brevik's really good at getting open and uses his speed to his advantage.
Is he one of the fastest guys on the team? Revik?
I would say he's a solid top five.
Top five, okay.
Tim, he's really good at catching in traffic and making something out of nothing. Like, he'll get thrown a ball that probably shouldn't have went to him, but he'll still catch it and turn it up.
Yeah, so. He seems like a ramrod. He'll bust a tackle or two, won't he?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Gentlemen, what's your favorite thing about football here? Braden.
My favorite thing about football is just that I get to spend time with so many of my friends. It's not every day that you get to see 50 people that you like hanging out with, and then you get to do something, especially on those Friday nights where you're winning a game by 1 point at your home stadium, and then you just get to have everyone rush the field and then sing. And it's just like, where else do you get this experience?
All right, Parker, same question.
I've been playing since first grade, so I have a lot of friends that I've made along the way in my football career, and I just like the part where I can hang out with my friends, kind of like what Braden said.
Okay. There's a phrase, Friday night lights. What's Friday night lights? What are Friday night lights like on Mel Engram Field, Isaac?
It's a lot different than any other field I've played on. It's really magical. No, like, there's so many people in the field, or not in the field, I'm sorry, in the stands, just like chanting and yelling and getting excited, and it really motivates you to just keep working hard and play your best.
All right. When you're not on Mel Engram Field, do you miss that?
Yeah. we only get one time a week where we get to play like that, and I wish it was all five.
I understand. Okay, Raiden, how about you? What's Friday night lights like at Mellingham Field for you?
It's really nice. Like, I get to see all my friends and family in the stands and just the history of the place. Like, there's so many people that have been season ticket holders for a long time. I remember I wore a GP shirt to the gym with my buddy, and then some guy came up to us and he told us about his years playing at GP and how he remembered seeing my dad play. And it's like, I'm a part of that. Where I'm playing where my dad played, and then my dad's watching me, and it's like passing the torch almost.
Oh, what year did your dad play?
He graduated 01.
Oh, one. Okay. I went back 100 years. So 2001 he played. So he's still a young man. Okay. Does he give you any tips?
Yeah, he likes to give me, like, post-game information and tell me what I did good and what I did bad, because sometimes in the heat of the moment you don't see it. And then, you know, he's just happy to...
So he's an extra coach for you?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So is he you two about similar size?
He's been losing weight, actually. He's about 5'7", 180, 190.
Oh, okay. Well, was he a lineman or was he a back at that size? Do you know?
I don't remember. I think he was, like, a fullback because they were still using them back then.
At Grants Pass High. I should remember. Oh, golly, I probably called his games, too. Okay, and at any rate, Parker, tell me about what Friday night's like. Friday night lights are like on Mellingham Field.
I think it's very electric. Our fans do a really good job on making a really fun atmosphere to play on. This is only my first year playing in this kind of atmosphere, but...
All right, general question for you all. Have you heard any of your opposing players, your opponents, mention what it's like to play at Mellingham Field? I mean, they're on the sidelines, and we heard people in the stands saying, golly, why do they have this many reserve seats? And then suddenly all the reserve seats are filled. And then the band starts marching out on both ends of the stadium. And then you all come out. It's pretty a spectacular view for somebody who's not seen that before and can be intimidating. Have you heard that response from any of your opponents out there to say, we'd rather play any place but Mellingham Field?
I think it's really nice playing on Mellingham. And then the opponents, they don't really say anything because they don't want to be all weird during the middle of a game, but they definitely seem a little jealous and a little scared when you see all those lights and just thousands of people in the stands.
We've seen some rubbernecking as all this is going on. They're looking around, taking it all in. All right, and you guys are right in the middle of it here, so that's why I ask what Friday night lights were like at Mellingham Field. For us, it's pretty exciting, and we want to thank you for all that excitement, guys. We appreciate your efforts here. Okay? All right, Braden, would you stick around here at the end of the program? We got about 3 minutes left. We'll see if we can't get Coach Page back in here for a second or two. Coach, I want to slide right back over here. All right, any particular protocols that you're going to follow before you head up to Sheldon? Is there, you seem to always have something up your sleeve here. Is the trip going to be the same? You're going to leave early, going to leave late?
It's not as far as Salem or Portland, thankfully, so we're used to making this trek. But no, it'll be pretty standard. We won't do any of our pregame routine here like we do for a Medford game. So we'll go up and just, you know, have our pregame meal halfway through, and then we'll go through our whole process once we get to Sheldon.
All right. And that whole process at Sheldon, will it vary? Will it be different? Are you going to walk the field? What are you going to do to get that focus you talked about earlier in the program?
Yeah, I mean, we'll try to find some time and just go on and have a little bit of a walk and just clear our minds and do our mindfulness before we get rolling. And then we're going to ramp it up from there, and then we're going to try to have high energy once it's time to go out for the field.
We've talked about how unique Mellingham Field is, and it certainly is. Is there another place that you like to play or that's different, but you get that same feeling here in the conference?
No, I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, you know, before Roseburg went to 5A, you know, playing there was, you know, something special just because of the rivalry. But we feel that at Spiegelberg, but there's nothing that comes close to Mellingham. I mean, that's a huge reason why I came back, is just our facilities, our community support, you know, the history here, the tradition. And so there's nothing that comes close.
I've got to echo that just for a moment here, because I've done play-by-play for a lot of different things in a lot of different places, and I've never had as much feedback as I've had about caveman football here in this community.
So. Yeah, no, no doubt. It's something special. And you can go to, I tell the players all the time, you don't get it until you leave. You can go to high-level high schools around the country, and they don't have what we have unless you go to Texas or Georgia. And unless you're in a FBS D1 school, like their stadiums aren't as nice as ours. You go to D2, D3, even some D1s, they're not as nice.
There are lots of colleges would love to have this facility.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
All right. Coach, best of luck to you and your teammates on Friday night. And ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to join us here. We'll be on the air about 6:30 on Friday night, coming to you live from Eugene, Oregon, the home of the Sheldon Irish. And immediately following tonight's program, of course, we'll have news from the Salem Radio Network. And follow that is the University of Oregon Coaches Show. So Dan Lanning going to be there, the number one coach in the nation right now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
At any rate. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for all of our guests. We want to thank you very much. And remember, we want to tip our hats to Abby's Pizza for their Caveman Corner. Good night, everyone.